B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Matt.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati. Thursday, January 14th. Everyone in their usual location. I'm in the remote a-hole chair location. We got Maz and Murray back in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Maz, how you doing, pal?
What's happening?
Nothing. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. So let's start to get into it. Let's just follow up on the Harden trade because it broke in the second half of our show yesterday. We spent a good deal of time on it yesterday, but, you know, the best stuff always comes to me when I'm driving home or, in this case, walking upstairs or, you know, overnight. I need to read it in the paper, Murray. I need to get the ink on my fingers before I get to
like
the real takes.
Yeah,
so we have developing opinions on the Harden trade. We'll take yours as well, and that's how we'll start the show. We are just for the Bruins people. I should ask Jimmy for the Bruins call. We have like a bat phone, the bat signal for all the folks in Saugus and the triple deckers. We're going to talk Bruins today quite a bit of hockey and quite a bit of Bruins. Okay, we'll get to that later on in the show. Season preview, NHL preview, all that good stuff. That's coming up later on in the show, and we always have time for football and Brady this weekend and all of that. But let's start off with just follow-up thoughts on the Harden trade, Maz. Do you have any?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. In the interest of full disclosure, I am a non-violent person. I don't necessarily look for the bad or the evil or any of that. And yet, I will tell you, unequivocally, 100%, in this particular instance, I am rooting for the train wreck. I want the train wreck. I want to see Kyrie Irving and James Harden try to coexist in a world with Kevin Durant. Kyrie doesn't like being second fiddle, let alone third. So I believe that there is a Kyrie Irving element to this deal. I felt that from the very beginning, that getting James Harden there had as much to do with holding something over Kyrie's head for the Nets as it does anything else. And I want to see the train wreck. If Kyrie doesn't come back, what a two-year-old.
Do you like the trade for the Nets?
Sure. Yeah. I get the. Yeah. I
sound like Bedard.
Well, but because, look, I think the Nets were in good shape. So I don't think they had to make the deal. If it works, they will have one of the great historic combinations in the history of the league.
I don't. It's an F. The Nets did not improve. I don't see why they did this other than they feel like Kyrie's not going to come back, which I think is the factor. He's not going to come back and play basketball, at least for this year. I think the Rockets improved. They win. They get rid of Harden. They get huge draft compensation. They got a tradable contract in Victor Oladipo. And I, too, am rooting for the train wreck because it's going to happen.
So I still don't like it from the Nets. I mean, I hated it when I first heard it. And so I hate it less is my developing opinion. I'm still a no. Because I thought that the Nets' current mix was good enough. I liked their mix. You know, I don't mind them trading young kids for the now. Like on paper, I'm okay with that. I just think LeVert and Allen would have been good enough to help them now. They had the mix now to get out of the East and give the Lakers a go. And so that's why I didn't like it, because I don't like it for the here and now. I don't, you know, I'm not sitting here saying the Nets should be building for 5 years from now. No, this is the Durant window. And Durant's got 3 more years on his contract, maybe 2 depending a player option, and he's in his early 30s. So, no, go now. I just thought they could win now I think this year and next, Maz, Harden's better than Caris LeVert.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah, it's a short window, small window.
But he's not that much better. Like, so maybe I'm overrating LeVert now. I mean, so I go from not really remembering his first name to telling you this guy's a borderline, you know, MVP candidate. So, yeah, I mean, if I take it for what it's worth. But I think what year is LeVert? Is his fourth year? Something like that?
That sounds right. Something like that. He's around there.
I think he's coming into, you know, borderline, you know, next tier down all-star territory. So certainly Harden's better, but I don't think he's that much better is what I'm trying to say to you. To add on the extra years, the extra weight, and just where his headspace is at. So that's why I didn't like the deal. But let me tell you why I like it less. As usual, too long of a lead-up for me. Here's why I hate it less. I hate it less. Because I do think the Nets gained some leverage here. And Murray, I know you don't understand what I mean by that, but this is what I mean by that. They now have leverage over Kyrie Irving. this is something of a Patriots-Belichick move, where the Nets now are not being held hostage by Kyrie Irving. They don't need him like they did yesterday. And so now it's on their terms. And the Nets can now sit there and say, Kyrie, we've got a championship team here. If you want to come back and play, great. Come back and play. If you don't, we're all set. $400,000 a game, and we're just as good as the day you left. Maybe better. So it's really up to you, pal. And the Nets are now not being held hostage by Kyrie Irving. I think that's important.
Oh, definitely. Look, I told you. I think that that's a big part of this deal. Kyrie's going to walk out fine. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go get James Harden. You want to come back? Great. Otherwise, we're fine. So you decide. Do you want to play ball or not? There's a huge Kyrie element to this deal. Because, again, who the hell knows what he wants? Does anyone know what he wants? And so I am more than happy to sit here all day and shred Kyrie Irving to pieces. And I think that, to me, one of the real stories in this whole thing is that Kevin Durant wanted it. Kevin Durant's sick of Kyrie already. That didn't take long. Boy, that didn't take long. Two guys orchestrating their own little backroom deal out at the All-Star game. A year later, Kevin Durant's ready to dump his ass.
But let me tell you, needing and relying and waiting around for Kyrie Irving, you're porked. You can't be that team. You can't allow yourself to be in that position to let him call the shot. And again, I related it to the Patriots, maybe the old Patriots, when we thought they knew what they were doing. But, you know, hey, Malcolm Butler, you want to hold out? You want to screw around with your contract? We have Stephon Gilmore. We don't need you. So either take it or don't. And it's like, you know, you put yourself in that position where you're not at the mercy of that guy. And in that respect, I think the Nets won, Murray. That's what I mean by the Nets now have leverage. You don't buy it?
No, because you're trading one mental case for another one. It's just that one, you really can't figure out, and is an enigma or mercurial in Kyrie Irving, and this one is just kind of a lazy pain in the ass. So I guess you cross your fingers and hope that he's going to play himself into shape.
Well, so, you know, everything you hear about James Harden, yeah, I mean, sure, he likes the nightlife, and sure, you know, he's obviously put on some weight, but he does show up and play. He is not a flight risk like Kyrie Irving. You know, it's not like people are asking, where's James Harden?
Correct.
They know where he is. He's in the club. All right? So he's, you know, he's getting a boob salad somewhere. Right? So, I mean, like, they know where he is. So he's not like, if you look at James Harden and his games played, going back to his rookie year, 76, 82, 62, 78, 73, 81, 82, 81, 72, 78, 68 last year. So he plays, and what you hear is he wants to play, and he cares about basketball. Now, it's hard to square that, Murray, when you see him, how big he is and how out of shape he got, but that's sort of what you hear. So if you're the Nets, you're looking at Harden, and you say, he'll get here, and he'll want to be here, and we'll get the best out of James Harden. And that in that respect, I mean, the Celtics have done that in the past. Pitcher, you know, they've done this a bunch. The famous one from the 80s when you were a kid, Maz, is Dennis Johnson.
Sure.
So just picture a Dennis Johnson equivalent, except James Harden let himself get fat.
Oh, but I mean, listen, again, so here's my thing on the weight with James Harden. He did it on purpose. I mean, this whole thing, the whole thing in Houston, because he's never looked like that before. He was so disgusted with what was going on in Houston. And by the way, I'm not defending him. I'm just saying in his mind. He got to the point where he said, I am going to get fat. I am going to complain. I am going to be such a pain in the ass that they have no choice but to trade me. And he succeeded, which is a statement on the league and on the way business is done in that league. But that's sort of a separate discussion. So he'll get in shape. He's with Durant now. He's happy. This is what the superstars in that league do. They pout. They get fat. They get unmotivated. And then they go somewhere else and they play well. So the horny, hungry hippo of James Harden will now go to Brooklyn, and he will become, he'll probably still be as horny as hell. He'll be a little less hungry, and he won't be a hippo. And he will, I stole a little of that from XM Radio last night, but nonetheless. But that's what he is, the horny, hungry hippo.
What does that kid's game look like? Hardy made a great point today on the Beatle show, Beatle and Zoe. He said if you're going to – 2 years ago, 3 years ago, weren't a lot of us saying the same thing about Kawhi Leonard? Why would you ever hitch your wagon to Kawhi Leonard? He quit on Greg Popovich and the San Antonio. He quit on just about the best organization in all of basketball. He quit on a championship caliber team, a championship caliber coach, a great organization. He quit on him, and he wouldn't show up, and he wouldn't play. And he's got some goofy Uncle Rick. Like, doesn't Kawhi have this weird representation? It's like he's got his own sort of little Planet Zippy situation. And, you know, people are scared off by saying, I'm not going to hitch my wagon to that guy. He won't show up. And then Toronto hitches his wagon to him. He shows up and they win a championship and he's the best player in the league. So could James Harden be Kawhi Leonard just plus 50 pounds? And Kawhi didn't let himself get out of shape, but Harden did, but it's the same sort of principle?
Yeah, the principle's the same. Yeah, He's not as good a player, but the principle's the same.
Right, Kawhi was a finals MVP, so I think he gets a little bit more rope.
The other thing is, this is a huge part of it to me. Durant wanted him, which means he's thrilled to be playing with Durant. Everything I gather with Durant, he feels like a good guy to play with. Like, Durant can pretty much do what he wants out there. He knows he's the best guy on the floor. And so you want him to play ISO? He will. You want him to spot up and shoot? He will, because he's so damn good at everything that he's a good guy to play with. So, you know, from that standpoint, Durant wanted Harden. Harden wanted Durant. The odd man out right now is Kyrie.
So, you know, I'm clearly kind of talking myself into it. I'm just giving to the other side. I hated it when I heard it because I liked LeVert and Allen. I liked the mix the Nets had. I thought they had given up too much in the here and now for a guy like James Harden who is, you know, looks like he's eating himself out of the league. I've sort of talked myself onto the other side of it. But the one thing I can legitimately say that I don't need to talk myself into that I just didn't consider yesterday and I should have is the leverage. Is the leverage the Nets now have. The Nets are now not dependent on Kyrie Irving. That's a better place to be than where they were. Now you could say they're dependent on James Harden, Murray, so I get your point. Like, now they're depending on just another problem. But maybe Harden's not the problem Kyrie is. At least Harden shows up.
Yeah, that's a good... That is the one point that you have in your favor, if you want to talk yourself into this and this being good for the Nets. At least Harden does show up. You just got to hope that he plays himself into shape.
And Durant wanted it. Right, as Maz keeps saying, and that's the thing there. That's the guy they're building it around. That's what it's all about. And so they had to give up two good pieces in the process. We'll see if it's too much. But those are our follow-up thoughts. Oh, and should the Celtics have been involved? I take that back. The Celtics were involved. Here's the fact, Celtics fans, because Danny Ainge admitted it today. The Celtics liked James Harden. They would have taken James Harden on this team. They just didn't like the price. Okay, so it's not that they were on James Harden. It was a cost issue. So should they have given up the price that it would have taken? And we know what that is now, Smart, Brown, and picks. Should they have done that? And your thoughts on the Celtics' involvement. Okay, so your reaction right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Take it a time.
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable.
It's Felger and Maz.
So why don't you just do that? Just do that thing.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, and now, the radio.com app.
What advice would you give Steve Nash? First time head coach Steve Nash now, guiding this team with these stars.
Embrace James Harden and Kevin Durant and let Kyrie Irving figure it out. You can't trust Kyrie Irving right now. It's just that simple.
So along those lines of the Nets now having some leverage, Steve Nash now has some leverage. You know, Steve Nash, not that he would say this publicly, but he can now carry himself this way. Because right now, Maz, heretofore, Steve Nash kind of looks like a schmuck. Right? It's like, where's Kyrie? Where's your star player? I don't know. He won't return my calls. But now people say, where's Kyrie? And he can say to himself anyway or to the locker room, I don't give a rat's ass.
Who cares?
We're all set. Right. We're all set. And, you know, the bending over backwards and kissing Kyrie's ass and all that, that clearly doesn't work, right? He doesn't respond to that. And maybe he responds to nothing. But I don't blame them for saying, you know what? We're not waiting on you. We're done kowtowing to you. We've got the guy. We've got our team. If you want to join us, fine. We'll take you. Otherwise, we don't need you.
I mean, I think this thing's as much about Kyrie as it is about anything else. And when you say Steve Nash looks like a schmuck, and I'm nitpicking, I would alter that to say Kyrie has made Steve Nash look like a schmuck. Like, to me, this is Kyrie being a complete jerk. Complete jerk. He's left his coach, his team, his organization out to dry. He has hung them out there and won't even talk to them. What a loser.
Of course.
What a loser.
But I think this emboldens Nash. I think this emboldens everybody to say, okay, now we know what the team is. We don't have to wait around for anyone. We're not going to sit there and subjugate ourselves to someone who doesn't want to be. We're all set. If you want to join us with in good faith, we'll take you back. But otherwise, beat it. You know, and that's a better place for them to be. That's what I would say. All right, so to your reaction, again, Mike in Dartmouth, lead us off today. Hi.
Yeah, guys, there's no way this works. And by this, I mean, obviously, the Harden now on the same team in Brooklyn with KD and Irving. Reason number one, Kyrie, as we well know, fellas, is a D-bag, capital D. Okay, correct. So what happens if this doesn't work, like I'm saying, and Kyrie bails like he did on the Celtics, number one. Number two, they just got rid of two young guys, Allen and the other guy there, LeVert, who actually could be a star. And they're basically depleting their roster, so... what happens if they get a fight like Harden? You know, I don't know. You know how these stars are. It goes to their head. They're ego, freaking driven guys, and they're all about the money, really.
So, of course, Mike. So if Harden jumps ship, then they're porked. They're really porked. Okay, and that's I guess it's possible. Although Harden, while he's a problem, has never bailed that I've seen before. I mean, you could say that he bailed professionally this year by letting himself get so out of shape and just slapping it out there, but. I mean, I'd be stunned if he did that this year. Now that he landed where he wanted to land, he did that because he didn't want to be in Houston.
Correct.
Okay. So, and that was really just kind of a this year thing. He hadn't done that previously. And you say, well, if Kyrie doesn't show up, no. I think they're all set now without Kyrie.
They exactly. That was the whole point.
Exactly. So that there's the leverage. That's what I'm talking about. We've got Matt in Malden. Hi, Matt. What do you got?
Hey, guys. A couple of weeks ago, Felger asked, after Antetokounmpo signed his extension, who is the next player that us green teamers should be horny for? And with Harden going and with Harden being off the table, I wanted to make a pitch. I think the next player we should all be pretty horny for on a team that we could trade with, we've traded with in the past, they might move him because he's not doing well for a package of picks and NBA-ready players, Karl Anthony Towns. I'd like to see, I think he could be a good fit and wanted to get your thoughts on him.
Okay, it's a name that keeps coming up, has over the years. What's our temperature today on Karl Anthony Towns?
I mean, I like Towns, again, and he would fit what they like to do. You know, he's not perfect, don't get me wrong, because there are some motivational issues there with Towns, and defensively, he's not a force. But he's got the size to be a factor defensively, and offensively he can shoot. So I would take that. He's young. I mean, you put okay. Towns with Brown and Tatum, I think you're in business.
How are you getting Towns without Brown or Tatum?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to.
No, you're probably not. I mean, unless the Timberwolves are willing to take pennies on the dollar.
And why would they?
I'm not sure that they would.
Okay, so it's not like even if – I don't know what his contract status is. If he's come up as a free agent, you no longer have the room to sign as a free agent. So it's got to be a trade. And then you have a trade exception, but that only means you can have the cap space. You still have to send the Timberwolves something that they want. So I don't know how you get a good young guy like that without Brown. So, I mean, you're sort of back where you started from on the Harden thing. Like, I think the Celts are kind of stuck. And maybe they're stuck in a good place, right? It's just – it's Brown, Tatum, and when they mature and become of championship age, there you are. But I think that's it. I think the path to add to it, to add another piece, is gone. Even to get a depressed asset like James Harden, Maz, you had to give up Brown and Smart, right? So to me, you're just sort of stuck waiting for this group. You're sort of stuck waiting for this group. Unless, you know, unless you determine Brown and Smart are not the compliments for Tatum, and then the next time a depressed asset like James Harden comes along, it is Brown and Smart for player X, and you put him with Tatum, and you hope that that's it. But that's, to me, that's really it. I don't think you're, let me put it to you like this, Maz. You're out of avenues to add a real piece to Brown, Smart, and Tatum.
In all probability, that is true, yeah. Again, unless someone else does something stupid and you can snooker someone the way you did the T-Wolves when you got Garnett. But, and I'm not saying that that's going
to
happen.
But you still had to give up your best young player. What I'm saying is you can add something, but you're going to have to peel off one of those three, if not two of those three, to get something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think they gave up all that much with Al Jefferson. I wasn't one of those people that was kicking and screaming about Al Jefferson at the time.
He was still their best young player.
He was, yeah.
So, this is my point. To get another a max guy in here, Maz, you're going to have to peel something off of those three guys.
Yes, I'm not fighting you on it. I'm saying that unless someone else does something stupid, you're not going to get Karl Anthony Towns, correct? And even in that deal, I understand what you're saying about Jefferson, but I'm just not ruling out the possibility that someone does something stupid. But I'll tell you what, leave that part out of it. What I was going to say was what you have to hope for is that Tatum and Brown become so good that guys want to come here. And then all of a sudden, I'll play for a little less for a year or two, and now you can try to plug in pieces around him, and maybe two's enough.
Okay, well, those aren't max guys. Those are exception guys. Those are mid-level exception guys. Those are those guys.
Agreed.
Max guy, all NBA, all-star. You're not getting one unless you peel something off of the team. Like that. I mean, as you say people get stupid, they do. If someone gets stupid enough to give you an all-star for Naismith and Langford and Pritchard with the rest of this team, then that's not just stupid. That's like, you know, they should be institutionalized. There's a real problem there if that individual's giving you an all-star for that.
Agreed.
Jim in Cambridge. Go ahead, Jim.
How you doing now? You guys are on point on every single fact that you've been talking about. I just have one little issue. There's no comparison to Kyrie Irving and Harden, both psychotic. Harden has a motive and the motivation to get out of there and to play with Durant. Now Kyrie knows that, and he's doing the, oh, my God, I'm the third guy in the wheel again, or whatever, third guy in the on the floor. And he did the same thing when Love came in, and he did the same thing when Tatum and Brown and then Haywood come in. That's, you guys are so perfect at everything you're saying right now. That's
Thanks,
the
babe.
End of the story.
Kyrie. All right, we're perfect, Maz, but that's your take. I think you're right about that, too. And I think, Maz, not even that, this whole thing, this whole wildcat strike that he's staging, and you started to touch on this yesterday, it probably started with Harden and the Harden rumors. He probably knew this was in the hopper. He probably knew that this was coming down the pike. And so he bails. He quits, as he tends to do, as a caller just pointed out and you've pointed out. That's probably what this is all about. And he's hiding behind the social justice or COVID or what, you know, whatever the nonsense is that he's spewing. It probably all started with him catching wind that they were going to pull the trigger on this, and he didn't want it. He compounded it with the fact they hired a coach that he didn't want. And he felt he was being, you know, marginalized and pushed out. So he quit. He left.
He's butthurt. Kyrie doesn't have enough power, so he's pissed off. And again, to compare him to Harden again, just to, you know, to add what you were saying and to really spell it out. Kyrie put together him and Durant. He put it together. He's the one that was talking to Durant in the hallway at the All-Star game. So the whole thing comes to fruition. Durant had a ruptured Achilles at the time, and they still went ahead with it. And so they were willing to wait to get together. They come together. They're playing great in the preseason. They come out of the gate and play great. And then Kyrie decides, for whatever reason, again, maybe it is related to Harden, well, now I have everything that I wanted. And he's still not happy. So he leaves. And he doesn't want to play with Durant now. Like, think about it in those terms. Meanwhile, Harden is putting on pound after pound after pound and half-assing it like nobody's business because he wants to play with Durant. He is willing to, do one of the most despicable, disgraceful things ever so that he can actually go and play with someone he wants to play with. So on the one hand, you have the guy who got what he wanted and then quit versus the other guy who's willing to get fat to come and play with Kevin Durant. Like, to me, if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about Kyrie Irving, he got what he wanted, and he's still not happy. He's never happy.
We're following up with your reaction to that Harden trade. We'll get back to you after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger Mass.
What are you talking about?
Number one.
Tell us what we said. Point A to point B, please.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
No one keeps track of it other than you. We don't. The listeners don't. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Felger Mass.
Oh, I think he's a tool bag.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So, I think the consensus, obviously, is that Celtics fans didn't want to do the trade. And I think they're probably right. And, I flip-flopped on it. I would have been a no on Harden previously. And then in the fall, I sort of talked myself into it. Because, what the hell? How else are you going to add another third piece, as Maz and I were just sort of discussing? And he's an elite guy. Flawed, but an elite guy. So I came around to it. Also for the talk show, if I'm being honest. He's great for the talk show. And then again, I saw the pictures of Veronica Beauregard there the other night in the blue warm-up suit. I said, well, that's it. I can't. You can't give up real good young pieces for a mess of a human being like that. So I've flip-flopped. I think a lot of Celtics fans are no now. Certainly, again, after you see that video. But is that if we're being fair, is that recency bias? In other words, Maz, if last year I said to Celtics fans, or most people, Brown smart for James Harden, wouldn't most people be, yeah?
Yes.
I mean, don't you think a lot more would be?
Totally.
Now, again, I would say most people would be. I've always been a no on Harden. I hate Harden. But would most people? Yes.
See, I think that we look at this video with him in the blue warm-up suit, and we look at how Jaylen Brown's playing. Both those things.
That's a big factor.
And the second one's a huge factor. You know, Jaylen Brown has come out this season. He looks terrific. Like he's made a real move. And so that combination of things has got us saying, all right, now no on Harden. But is it possible we're just sort of getting duped by a bad month from one guy and a good month from the other?
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, sure. Again, now I'm trying to take my personal feelings out of it because you know how I feel about Harden. I just think he's a loser. And, you know, now you put him with Durant. I've also said if he's the second best player on his team, maybe. And with Durant, I think he is the second best player on his team, independent of whether Kyrie's there. You know, I like Kyrie better, but whatever. So, you know, could there be a recency bias? Of course. The guy's done nothing but, you know, disrespect the league, his teammates, himself, over the last several weeks and months. How could you possibly like him right now?
But the gamble really is that you think that Jaylen Brown has hit his ceiling at 24 years old.
And, well, that's another one, Murray. That's exactly right.
And so based on what we've seen so far with Jaylen Brown this year, I think the answer is no. So that's why I wouldn't make that deal.
But the real smart evaluators have to project that out. You know, and there's going to be a scoreboard there, right? It's easy to say now I'm not giving up Jaylen Brown. He's had a good couple weeks. Like that's not hard. Like we all feel that way. The trick is, what's he really? You know,
what's he really?
And what are the odds of him getting there? And looking at Harden and saying, he looks pathetic right now. But is that just is it just a bad phase he's going through because he wants out of there? And ultimately, when water seeks its level, what is each guy? That's what, you know, that's what the best do. And maybe Danny Ainge, you know, probably has it right. He generally does. He's great on his evaluations. Not so great on winning championships, but the evaluations are usually pretty good. So I think that's how we all feel now. That's all what we would say. But just keep it in mind. You know, keep it in mind. You got to see how it plays out. The Kyrie trade felt like a slam dunk no-brainer when you made it. To the point where even when it blew up in your face, you all said, we'd do it again. But it wasn't. It turns out it wasn't. It was the wrong guy. And we all missed on Kyrie. Danny missed on Kyrie. Let's see what Harden looks like. Let's see how it all plays out. So anyway, back to your phones. Lee in Franklin. Go ahead, Lee.
How you guys doing today?
We're good.
I just wanted to say that I think Danny Ainge, for all the he seemed to have taken a lot of heat recently on you. I think he would have been crazy to make that trade for for a superstar in the making in Brown. And I think he's pretty proud of Smart, seeing as though it's the only time that he's dropped, had a down season to get into the lottery. And he's been a serviceable player all along for him.
Okay, well, again, time will tell.
I'm not giving you Smart. Sorry. Like, you know, and Smart's fine. The big decision there is Brown. You know, Brown's the big one. Smart, you'd move in a second, with all due respect. And Smart, at the end of the day, he's not part of the big three. He's a fourth or fifth guy, and he's a good guy at the end of the game, and he makes winning plays. But he's expendable.
I know that's how you feel. Is that how they feel?
I don't know. You know, again, sometimes I wonder, when we played that comment early in the year where Ainge went out of his way to throw Marcus Smart's name in at the end, he initially forgot him.
Yeah.
Right? Which tells me they know. They don't put him, instinctively, they don't put him in the same group as Brown and Tatum, but they're playing a political game by adding him because they don't want to hurt Smart's feelings.
I reference that clip all the time. That was after the draft on Tucker and Rich. I thought that was so telling that he's like, yeah, you know, with Jalen and Jason and Marcus, like, it's like, okay, we can't forget about Marcus or he's going to lose it because Marcus thinks he's like an offensive weapon. Oh, I hate that.
I mean, Murray, didn't he actually say, you know, we have two or three?
Yeah.
Like, you know, he initially said two.
Yeah.
So I look at that and say, in deep down, it's Brown and Tatum.
Do you believe Danny Ainge would have traded Marcus Smart and picks for James Harden?
Yes.
Yes. I hope.
Yes.
How do Celtics fans feel about that? I mean, look, there's a large portion of them that will just, they'll take their pants off whatever Danny does. See, you got it. I'm not talking to those people. I'm talking to those people with a brain who think independently, think with a little bit of edge.
Green orgy.
Okay.
No, the objective Celtics fan, I think, would make that trade, and rightfully so. The lunatics would say no because Marcus Smart's like does have winning plays and all that, you know, nonsense, and because they overrate him so much.
Well, I'm just saying whatever Danny did, there's, you know, a large section of Celtics fans and media that would say, great move by Danny, whatever it was. But for those of you bashing James Harden, okay, keep this in mind. Danny Ainge liked Harden and was in on Harden. He just didn't like the price. And he admitted it this morning. We'll play the clip in a second. He said it in his own words. He just didn't like the price. Not that he didn't like the player. He didn't like the price. So with all your Harden bashing, keep that in mind. Danny Ainge would have done it. He just didn't want to give up Jaylen Brown. That's what I read, and maybe Marcus Smart. I don't know. But you think, Maz, if it was just Smart and picks, he would have done it?
Yes. Mike, he's been after Harden a long time. Long time. They liked him when he was coming into the league. And when he went from Oklahoma City to Houston, in that deal, that was around the time. I got to go back and look at the timeline. That was around the time that they traded Perkins for Jeff Green.
Yeah, Tony, that was the original ask, is they wanted Perkins for James Harden.
I think they thought they were going to get Harden.
They did.
They thought they were going to get Harden. And so he's wanted him for a long time. Now, look, the dynamic is a little different now. You get two young superstars. They're trying to do something sustainable and all that. But if you could get him for a song, oh. They would have brought him in here, absolutely.
Pick this up on the other side with your calls. Stick around.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
James Harden is a great player. I mean, everybody knows that. He's one of the best offensive players that have ever played the game in any era. So, James is a great player. I think every team in the league respects him and fears him as an opponent.
Now, were you interested in him? Did the Rockets call you about James Harden?
Yeah, we had conversations
in regarding James, but not recently. But yeah, we did have conversations.
Was this a price too high situation? And did your opinion of the price change as this young season progressed?
No, listen, we had numerous talks, but the price really wasn't changing. The price was really high for us, and it was just something we didn't want to do. And I'm not sure there was anybody, even the people that, you know, within our organization that, you know, respected him and wanted him more. But I think unanimously we decided it wasn't the time for us and it wasn't the price.
It wasn't the price. So you think, Maz, that if it were just Smart and picks, or Smart and, you know, whatever, Smart, Pritchard, Neesmith, Langford, the rest of it, take, you know, whatever.
Take your pick of the rest of the roster.
If Smart was the centerpiece and pieces and picks, you think they would have done it?
Yes.
So maybe, Maz, you know, this is what I wonder. Marcus Smart's been kind of squirrely this year, right?
Yes.
We've sort of sensed he's even being more Marcus Smarty than usual, and it's like, you know, he's sort of feeling marginalized. Or, you know, we've read into some of his behavior this year. Maybe it's for the similar reason as Kyrie pitching his fit in Brooklyn, and that is this was all circulating. This was all circulating. You know, Kyrie Irving knew the Nets were in on James Harden, and he didn't like it, and Marcus Smart knew that the Celtics were in on James Harden. They were willing to deal him. He knew it, and he didn't like it. And Kyrie Irving has responded in his way, which is quitting. And Marcus Smart's responded in his way, which is being, you know, sort of temperamental on the court. And maybe that's what's going on, Maz. Would that surprise you one bit? Because the Ramona Shelburne report, or someone's report, SNY's report, was that the Celtics were definitely in on it to the point that the Celtics players involved were preparing for it, or something along those lines. So would that surprise you at all if that's what was going on behind the scenes?
Wouldn't surprise me in the least bit. I think there's absolutely a chance of that. Because, again, look, these guys, we always hear about this stuff later on. But the reality is that most of this stuff is reaching a boil well before it gets to us. And so yesterday the deal was finalized, and Harden certainly precipitated the thing or acted as a catalyst the night before when he basically told his team, I'm not playing here anymore. That's it. I'm done. Or he told the public.
Well, no, that's when I think Houston finally said, okay, fine. I mean, my guess is the Nets offer was on the table for a while, and the Rockets after that night finally said, fine, let's do it.
Yeah, it reached the point where they said that's it. You know, he went public with it now. He was probably telling them privately about it in similar terms, but he decided, okay, I'm going to go public, and I'm getting fatter by the day. So let's see if they get the message.
All right.
But your point on Smart, absolutely. No question about it in my mind that's a possibility.
Let's bank through some calls here as quickly as possible. Jared in Connecticut, go.
Hey, Mike, long-time listener, first-time caller. I just want to call about Danny Ainge. I feel like he just overrates the players. He doesn't – I don't know. He won't pull the trigger on any deal. We saw it happen with Paul George, Kawhi, now Harden. I just feel like the Celtics are just going to be an Eastern Conference middler for the next 10 years or however long.
Possible. It's possible they'll be that B-plus kind of team and never get over the hump because Trader Danny turned into Hoarder Danny. This is possible. Larry in Plymouth, go.
Yeah, hi. I think Kyrie has a little LeBron envy. He's in Cleveland with him, wins a championship. He thinks he's on his level. And we're seeing the flip side of this recruitment by players. When the player needs to have his act together to be a good recruiter that produces championships.
Okay, Maz, this is, you're big on this. You think Kyrie's got like a daddy complex and LeBron's his daddy?
I think that's totally it. I think Kyrie considers himself someone who deserves the respect and the power of the greatest players in the league. And every time he goes somewhere, he doesn't get it. And when it doesn't happen, he gets agitated. And so he pouts. It happened in Cleveland. He wanted out. He came here. He got hurt. He had the knee issue. The Celtics made a run without him. And as a result, when the team came back, now they had other guys on the team, good young players that he had to deal with. He didn't like it. So what did he do? He pouted. He went back on his word, and he went to Brooklyn. Brought Durant with him to Brooklyn. Then what happens? Same deal. All of a sudden, he's not the most important guy in the room. Now they go get Harden to leverage him, because I think you're dead on about that. And It's Kyrie pouting again. Anytime Kyrie's told he's not the most important guy on the team, he pouts. He pouts Matt, and runs.
Matt in Medway. Go ahead, Matt. What do you got?
Guys, what does government mean to you?
Huh.
No, I want to say I'm so glad Kyrie's gone. Can't stand him. I think this team is close. I disagree with the previous caller saying they're going to be a middling Eastern Conference team. I don't think that's the case at all. I thought it was the Toronto game that stood out to me where they started a smaller lineup. They went back. They didn't have Tristan Thompson in that game, if you remember. They were down early in that game, too, double digits. And now, luck, you know, they had Shemmy and Grant Williams.
Matt, what? You're talking about a regular season game the second week of the year?
Delusional.
With a home team playing on a neutral site? Like, what are you doing? Come on, I'm sorry to cut you off, but please keep it on planet Earth. They're a good team. They might be better than I thought. Brown has made a move, for sure. But, you know, you could be the Maz is big on this. You could be the third or fourth best team in the NBA and still be a mile away. And that's sort of where I think they're sort of at right now. And I think they're kind of stuck in that place. Now, maybe they're a little bit better, but I would not be using the seventh game of the year in Tampa against Toronto to judge it. Sorry.
I mean, if they play the Lakers right now in a seven-game series, they're going to lose. Now, again, we can debate how bad it'll be, okay? If Tatum and Brown play like they're playing and they get contributions from other guys, maybe they go to six. If they don't, they'll get smoked. And so they're just not good enough to beat the Lakers. They have no answer for Anthony Davis. None.
Jane,
zero.
Jane Grafton, hi.
How you doing, guys? Danny should take some heat. How would a 22-year-old guard averaging 25 points a game, shooting over 50% from the floor and behind the arc sound on the Celtics right now?
Who's that? LeVert?
Colin Sexton, the number 8 pick in the 2018 draft. That trade looks worse by the day. I'll hang
okay.
up and listen.
So they got off to a really good start. Cleveland sort of flattened out. But has Sexton been good throughout?
So I haven't followed that, but I'll tell you what, it's a good point. I mean, they're looking for a shooter. And if Sexton turns into the kind of guy who can snipe, or is the kind of guy who can snipe, you're telling me he wouldn't have been a good fit here? The third guy, you know, or ish with Tatum and Brown?
Yeah.
I mean, let's see how that one goes. I don't think that's wrong just to look at that.
Bob and Needham, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I would have done it, Felger, because the only way Danny's grand scheme works now is if Tatum turns into Jordan Light and Brown turns into Pippen Light, because you have to have two upper echelon superstars to have any chance of going to winning a championship. And I don't know if those guys are going to be there. I think Harden at least gives you the other superstar to Tatum's because you can argue about his defense and all that, but he is a legitimate 30-point scorer every single night, and he did lead the league in assists one year, I believe. So I would have taken my chances because I have no idea if Brown's going to turn into, you know, Pippen, because that's the only way this plan works at this point.
Bob, I think they have two paths. One is just this patient sort of build where you're waiting for Brown and Tatum for it to be their time. That's it. You just wait. You're talking 2, 3, 4 years somewhere in there. You're hoping and that they stay here long enough to see that through. Plan A. Plan B, you realize that Brown and Smart are not good enough as complements for Tatum. Oh, by the way, this is all dependent on Tatum becoming a top five player. Right, if he doesn't become a top five player, you're pork no matter what happens. So he becomes a top five player. Brown becomes his Pippen, and in 3-4 years, it's their time, and you win. That's plan A. Plan B, you realize Brown and Smart, and what you have is not a good enough complement for Jason Tatum as a top five player, and then you package them for the second guy. And the second guy is probably going to have some problems. There's going to be something, because otherwise he wouldn't be available to you. So he's either going to be fat like Harden, or he's going to be a flight risk like Kyrie, or he's going to be something. There's going to be something, but that's it. I don't see a third path.
Yeah, and Tatum alone with Harden isn't enough. Like, yeah, you might win a few more regular season games, but that's not enough to win a championship. If you added him and he was dedicated and in good shape to Tatum and Brown, well, you might have a shot. That's a good three. But Harden with one of these two, whether it's Brown or Tatum, it's not enough.
Okay, so we'll continue to take your Celtics calls all day. It's a big enough story to keep following up on it. So we'll mix in your Celtics calls with some Bruins talk. They open up tonight. NHL season opened up last night. We'll start to give you our thoughts on that side of it right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.